numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. In case you missed it, the first hour, Drew Dinsick and I talking about Paolo Banchero and the moving odds, the just hugely moving odds over the last 24 hours on him going first in the NBA draft. Hard to believe. He was, you know, he didn't say this on air, but he was saying off air. Hard to believe that we're getting Trayvon Walker and maybe Paolo Banchero in the same year, if that manifests, NFL and NBA draft back to back. And then we're just talking about these golfers moving. So Max Homa is the one that surprises me. I'm a little disappointed in Max, to be honest with you. Brooks Koepka, 19th ranked in the world. Abraham Answer, 20th ranked in the world. Max Homa, 22nd ranked in the world. They're on their way. And who was it, Brian? Somebody else was saying, it's like, in the end, Koepka and DeChambeau, remember that little feud? They both went.
Yeah. It was like saying, there's no more villains.
There's no more villains in golf. Nobody,
like, Patrick Reed is gone.
That's
cheater.
Right.
I mean, that's what I called him. But
yeah. Well, ask all his college teammates. They'll tell you. Let's talk some baseball. No, there's a sport never riddled with cheating. Oh, well, wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, from an undisclosed location in Arizona, it's Mark Borchardt, at Base Winner on Twitter. How you doing, Mark?
Gil, I'm doing pretty good. You know, there hasn't been much controversy. Not a lot of steroids, not a lot of sign stealing this year. You know, the only controversy is what Major League Baseball's done to itself with the ball situation.
Yeah. Yeah. We still don't have a handle on that, do we? Or do you, like, I mean, how do you approach it every day? Do you just not even something you deal with?
Well, I think that as a rule, we got to think that run suppression is going to happen this year. The ball's going to be deader than normal. But this humidor, I think to make a long story short, Gil, I think there's going to be a lot of runs in August. I think that the ball's going to get dried out in these humid environments, especially in a humid environment in late summer. Look for score. If you like playing overs, look for scoring to increase where the ballparks are humid. But as a rule, I think that they want to do this. They're trying to, you know, it kind of backfired when they juiced the ball because it became a 3-2 outcome situation where, you know, the home run was so easy to get, you know, relatively to, you know, all of history of baseball, that these guys who really didn't have power to begin with, or not, you know, home run power, you know, considered, you know, historic home run power or normal home run power. These guys said, you know, well, with this ball juiced, I can just swing a little harder. I'm going to strike out more, but I'll have a chance to hit a home run. So by juicing the ball in 2019, it kind of backfired on MLB. They thought that it would be a livelier game, but it became a 3-2 outcome game. So now I think they're trying to bring it back. And I just wish, and I agree with what they're doing, Gil. I just wish they would be upfront about it. I think that they have the ability to tell us, especially bettors and fantasy players, you know, what's going on with the ball. Hey, this is what we're doing with the ball. And you can take it for what it's worth. But from a handicapper standpoint, if I knew that, then you could actually model it. Right now, there's a lot of guessing, Gil.
Yeah. There sure is, and they'll never be honest about it. I think we can be confident of that. They never have been. They never will be. I want to get to, because we haven't asked you about this in a while, the teams at this point in the year that you, based on your numbers, feel are overachieving record-wise and are underachieving the most, and that'll give us some sense of how we can bet those teams moving forward, either yes, no playoffs, adjusted season win totals. But I want to ask you about the Yankees first. So the Yankees are 50-17, another win yesterday after the Blue Jays had come from way behind to beat them on Sunday, a rare blip in the season for the Yankees. 50-17. Now, Gerrit Cole had a no-hitter going into the eighth last night before it was broken up. And then the Rays actually tied the Yankees. Yankees had to win in a dramatic fashion on an Aaron Hicks shot. I'm comparing them. I'm looking at the game log of the 2001 Mariners. The 116-win 2001 Mariners, which I remember distinctly, as I'm sure you do, sitting there, I remember just at work every day that year, and the Mariners would just find a way. They would just hit their way to victories. Current moment, the Yankees are 50-17. The 2001 Mariners would have a two-game lead over the Yankees right now. That's it. Two-game lead. And so I just want to, like, a team that is this good, that continues to win, it is very, common for us to immediately knee-jerk reaction and say, yeah, you know, it's probably not going to be sustainable. They've had the best of injuries. Don't expect this to continue. Okay, I get that. But do we often sort of get to that conclusion a little too quickly sometimes? Like, couldn't it, on the other hand, be just a historical season?
I think it's pretty cool the way I do the standings on my site, Gil, and I'm patting myself on the back a little bit, but I'm looking at this like where they should be based on their underlying stats, like how good they've been, weighted runs created plus goes into it, xFIP minus and defensive runs saved. And okay, so conventionally they're 746, so they've gotten a little bit of lucky percentage-wise, they're 746, but the implied win percentage is 700, 702. They should be 47 and 20, so not that far off of what they actually are.
Yeah. Wow.
And this team is solid. I mean, it's a good team. I've got them projected to win 108 games, and maybe they'll kind of can it towards the end. That's the one thing. If there's not another team, you know, they give the two byes to the Yankees or they give the two byes to the top two teams in the AL. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be chasing that. But once they get there, you know, what more do they have to play for, Gil?
No, that's a great point. But it is interesting that they're only three games better than what they ought to be based on your numbers. And by the way, Mark is not a Johnny come lately to the Yankees. Their season win total pre-flop was 91. He had them projected at 98. And we laughed. Who's laughing now? Okay, so based on that, I want to get to, you know, here we are 65 or so games into the season. Give me the teams. You just mentioned that the Yankees are three games better than what you have them. Give me the team or teams that are way overperforming based on your numbers in terms of their actual record and way overperforming and underperforming right now.
Okay, so look at the luckiest team. This is based on their weighted runs created plus, xFIP minus, you know, put that in defensive runs saved, put that in kind of a mixer and come up with their expected wins. So the team that's the luckiest is the Mets. They should be 41 and 28. They're 45 and 24. So about a four game difference there. And there's some concerning things with the Mets. If you go a little bit more granular into offensive numbers, which I won't do on the show, but I think that they have, they still should be 592, right? I mean, they still should be 40 and 28, but maybe not as good as their record would indicate, Gil.
Okay. And by the way, William Hill puts out adjusted season win totals pretty much on a daily basis. Mets are not up currently, but they do have a handful of teams up right now. So I can't give you their adjusted number right now, but that's interesting. So the Mets outperforming per year numbers what they are currently by four games. Who's been the unluckiest?
Unluckiest team is the Mariners. They should be nine games better than they are. Now, this
Whoa.
Is a pretty big contrast.
Whoa.
So they'll check this out, Gil. They're 106 weighted runs created plus, so 6% better than average. Their xFIP, this includes the starters and the bullpen, they're only 2% worse than average. And defensive runs saved, their 34 defensive runs saved puts them third in baseball. So yeah, by those numbers, they should be 38 and 30, and they're 29 and 39. So it's just been kind of a unlucky year for the Mariners, which is funny because remember last year they were really lucky, and people got like fired up because I bet them not to go into the playoffs, and you called me un-American, as a matter of fact.
I believe that was un-American. That's right. What's wrong with me, by the way? What's wrong with
it
me?
It worked out for me. No, yeah. Excuse me, the Angels got them in the end there.
I really said that. Okay, so what's interesting about this for me is also in baseball, it's particularly interesting because there's such a long arc, right? 162 games. Do you find, so it's one thing to say that the Mariners, you know, underperforming by nine games. That's massive in a 65-game stretch. Do you find then that on a daily or nightly basis, that they are undervalued by the market? So do you find yourself betting them a lot daily?
I think I haven't bet them that much lately, and it just depends on how it's priced. But I expect for me, now, this is kind of how I handle it as a handicapper. So like, let's say, you know, I come up with a line on every game for the daily card. And let's say I have like a 15-cent difference. Usually that's a play. But in the Mariners case, if I have a nickel difference or even if it's even, I'm going to play the Mariners. I look for some regression on this team. And I think that that's kind of how you handicap like the luck stats. as a capper. You want to have a fundamental edge going into the game, but it just kind of pushes you to either increase your bet size or to make a play on the game.
Well, because that's, you know, that's the conundrum of sports betting, right? And specifically, like, this is a great example of it. The Mariners, who your broader numbers have them as underperforming, and if the market then on a daily basis, you know, provides value, you would keep going back to the well, and to this point, they would keep disappointing you, right? So it's then it plays tricks on your mind. I mean, this is always the thing about sports betting, why it's such a mind-numbing experience sometimes. And at what point then, if that is the case, do you just say to yourself, I can't keep doing this?
Yeah, that's a good question, Gil. For me, I think my threshold's a lot higher than most people, and it really depends on, you know, what the underlying metrics look at. They're looking at the underlying metrics, and I expect full regression on some of the luck stats. So I will play a team a lot longer than the average person, and it's only been because I've been doing it a long time, I think. But yeah, it does play. It, you're right. It does play tricks on your mind.
We're going to run into a wall here, Mark. Do you want to hang for another? You know,
yeah, no problem.
All right,
no problem.
We'll get your picks here after the break. One last question here real quick, though. Interestingly, the Dodgers are right about where they should be based on your numbers.
Yeah, let me go ahead and take a look at that real fast. Yeah, they should be 40 and 25. They're actually right there, Gil. They're 40 and 25. They should be 40 and 25.
Exactly, yep. The same number. Wow, that's
yep.
It. Okay.
Yep.
And then the Padres and the Giants, just out of curiosity, in the NL West?
Oh, I know you wanted to know about the Giants. Giants should be worse than they are. They should be 35 and 31. Padres, they should be worse than they are, too. So they should be 39 and 30. They're 42 and 27.
Okay. So you still think the Dodgers are the team to beat there?
I think so. I think I just looked at it, and it was like, I don't know. We can talk about the exact percentage after the game.
We'll do that. We'll get Mark's baseball picks of the day. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here. For only $19, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Sign up today and you'll get VSiN's daily best bets, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is only $19 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. It's Gil Alexander, Mark Borchard from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, at BaseWinner on Twitter. BaseWinner.com is where you can find him. Mark, by the way, Jeff in the corner over here, I'm not making this up, he comes out after the break and he goes, he doesn't have enough Giants magic in his model. That's exactly.
Is that what Parlay said?
No, Parlay's not here. Jeff in the corner, who does audio for us, who has said it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. So apparently it's getting around, you know, that you lack Giants magic.
A little aside, and I want your opinion next time I come on the show, Gil. Do you think that Parlay has a resemblance physical appearance to Corbin Burns? I thought that they looked pretty similar.
Felica sends me pictures of men's tennis pro tennis player Ilya Ivashka, and he sends me, he goes, look, Parlay's playing a grass court tournament this week. So there's that. By the way, we have another guy who does a, I don't know if he wants me to name him on air, but he does a Parlay imitation as well. So Jeff has this cottage industry of guys who, by the way, it's a spectacular imitation of Jeff talking as well. Jeff is under the weather today, so Brian Ortega's in for Jeff.
Brian Ortega is he's the movie guy, right?
He's the movie guy. Notice the nose about the movie guy.
Look at that.
Look at that.
I think I cashed a ticket, so thank you,
there
Mr.
You go.
Ortega.
Nice.
There you go.
That's what I'm here for.
Brian's ahead. This is the happiest moment he's had this morning. He's so happy now.
I am so excited. I love being known as the movie guy.
You are the movie guy.
Yeah, you should watch Hustle ahead of the NBA draft on Netflix with Adam Sandler. It'll make the NBA Combine actually look like something you'd actually want to watch.
Really?
But just watch the movie instead.
See, now he's just riffing. Now he's
that's
just giving.
That's good. I tried to talk my wife into watching that movie the other day, and she wouldn't do it. But now that you said, and again, Gil told me, I'll be like, well, hey, it's a homework assignment.
There you go.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's a good movie. It's you can watch with the family. Has Adam Sandler being serious? Should do it.
I don't even need to be here anymore. You guys just settle it. You, Lisa, tell Lisa to go watch that movie. All right. So, okay. You wanted to say one more thing about the Padres and the Giants, did you, after the break?
Well, no. I think that the Dodgers still have some value in that market because they're about like minus 200 right now, and I have them in the division simulator at minus 426. So I think that the Dodgers are probably, you know, still a go-to team. They still lead the league in plate discipline. I think that, you know, the production they've gotten from Anderson and Gonsolin's been awesome.
Oh, and amazing.
And Kershaw, and maybe Buehler can figure it out a little bit later. But, you know, this team, if they don't have the starting pitching to get them there, they're going to go buy the starting pitching to get them there. And I think that offensively, they're just stacked. They're better than the Yankees by my ratings.
You see this kid, O'Neill Cruz, play for the Pirates yesterday? Do you see this?
No, I just plugged him in the model this morning, though. He's got really high numbers, Gil.
So this is unbelievable last night. So this was his third game last night, just sort of, you know, random just baseball stuff. O'Neill Cruz is a 6'7" shortstop for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And he has played three career games. In all three of them, he has had multiple total bases, had an RBI, scored a run. And since RBI became official in 1920, the only other player to do that, all of those things in each of his first three career games, Joe DiMaggio. But now, here's the thing. He's also had the hardest throw by an infielder in Major League Baseball this year, 96.7 miles per hour. The hardest hit ball of the year by a Pirate, 112.9. The three fastest sprint speeds of the year by a Pirate as well. So, I mean, he's just, it's incredible. And he looks like he is a gigantor on the baseball field. Like when he's up at the plate, it's incredible to watch. Anyway, I don't know why I brought it up, but.
Well, no. It's a good question. It's a good point. You know, if you're going to handicap these Pirates, you got to be aware of, I mean, it's not the same Pirates that even started, not necessarily your dad's Pirates, but it's not even the Pirates that started the year, Gil.
Yeah.
And you got to know guys like Tyler Heineman, O'Neill Cruz, Blake Madras I plug him into the model. Jack Sawinski's a good player. So, you know, they've got a lot of youth. And I think that if you handicap the Pirates, you got to know that. But long-term projections on O'Neill Cruz are very bullish, Gil. 20% better than average from a weighted runs created projection standpoint.
All right. What's the best division bet that currently exists? Is it the Cardinals? Is it a team in the AL Central, like the Guardians, perhaps?
Well, I think that it's interesting. I think the Dodgers probably is the best one. Give me some odds, and I can.
Well, I'm happy to do that for you, Mr. Borchard. That's why I'm here. This is the AL, and we'll give sort of a consensus number here on these. But these are division odds for, we'll start with the NL Central, where the Brewers are minus 175 and the Cardinals are plus 120.
Brewers, I have minus 338, Gil. So that's a good play on the Brewers.
Ooh. Okay, yeah. My goodness.
I don't like St. Louis's pitching. I think Wainwright and Hudson are not that great, and so that goes into the mix there. And their bullpen sucks.
So there's that.
No. I mean, their bullpen's not very good either. So.
Okay. By the way, my AL Central won't come up, so I can't provide you those.
I can just tell you, yeah. AL Central is up in the air. I've got Minnesota winning 36% of the time, the White Sox 31.7%, and Cleveland 31.8%. So if you can get, I guess it would depend on the price on that one, but it's between those three teams.
Okay. I can give you a division for the year. Let me go to DraftKings here because I couldn't find it anyway. American League Central, White Sox plus 125, Cleveland plus 370, Minnesota plus 145.
That Cleveland one plus 370. They should be plus 223 based on the model.
So right.
If you guys want a long shot, go with Cleveland there.
What do you like today?
Well, I'm going to go with Philly. And this is, you know, you hear of recency bias. I think this might be history bias on me with Martin Perez, but there's one number that kind of sticks out, and his home run for fly ball is only 2.7%. Major league average is 11%.
Yeah.
This Philly team's got some power. I'm going to go with Philly over 4.5 on the team total. You can get plus money on that plus 105. I think that's a pretty good opportunity. Philly's plate discipline stats really good recently, third in baseball.
Over team total Phillies, that was your bet?
That's going to be the bet. Over 4.5 plus 105.
Full game, over 4.5 plus 105 on the Phillies today. Philadelphia Phillies in action today. Where are they today? Who are they playing?
They're playing Texas with Martin Perez.
There
dude.
You go. Martin Perez, our old friend Martin Perez. This is amazing. Yeah, we've been betting him for 12 years, this guy. It seems like Martin Perez, at least 9 or 10 years that I can remember. Still hanging around. Interleague game again at Texas. Rangers minus 115 on the line, but Mark's going with the Phillies. Team total over 4.5. What else you got?
I'm going to go with one more play today, and it's this Royals-Angels game over 9. I've got a projection of 10.7 runs in this game, and I mean, I'm just not high on Heasley. I've got him 149th out of the base winner, 150, and then Detmers I'm not high on. He's 137th out of the base winner, 150. You look at their pitching plus numbers from The Athletic. Heasley's in the 24th percentile. Detmers is in the 34th percentile, so not encouraging, and then the Royals are 25th in my relief numbers. So you got a lot of things working for you there, and I think that that's a good opportunity to take the over in that game, Gil.
I know you don't delve into these markets that often, but American League MVP Aaron Judge, the short shot at plus 110. Shohei's now plus 450. Mike Trout, who's been on a tear, plus 550. And then Jose Ramirez, who does amazing things seemingly on a nightly basis, but is in oblivion there in Cleveland, 9-1. You have a thought on any of that?
I just hope that anybody gets it besides Ohtani, because remember I went on the show before the season started and I had a group of five at plus 132 odds. It's just kind of spreading the bet around. But it was Trout, Vlad, Judge, Alvarez, and Jose Ramirez. So as long as Ohtani doesn't get it, I'm looking good. I think that Judge should get it right now based on the war. I mean, the guy's going to hit more home runs than Roger Maris. So, yeah, that's who I would bet him again.
Is there an NL MVP or a Cy Young bet that you like right now?
Oh, I like Aaron Nola. He was at 30-1 2 weeks ago. I put him out on the show, and he was only one strikeout behind Corbin Burns. Burns had a really good outing last night, so that kind of hurts that Nola play. But he's still like right there at the top of the National League strikeout leaderboard. He was 30-1 a couple weeks back. That was the one that I gave out when Jeff hosted the show.
Yeah, he's still 25-1. On BetMGM, so still
he's only like 10 strikeouts back, I think. He's number two in the National League for strikeouts, Gil.
Yeah, shop around for all of these, because Aaron Nola's 14-1 at another shop, but 25-1 we're seeing good number at BetMGM on him. All right, Sandy Alcantara, by the way, the short shot 3-1. Mark, appreciated very much. So again, the two picks: Phillies over team total. And then pick number two was, once again?
Royals Angels over 9, Gil.
All right. Two totals. One a team total, one a game total. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Mark Borchardt, everybody, at BaseWinner. BaseWinner.com is where you can find what he does. Got a whole bunch of media that he does on his own as well. In studio, Ben Wilson next. College baseball, my goodness, the greatest betting vehicle of the year. That's next. Right here on The Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on The Numbers Game, Gil Alexander. Ben Wilson, ladies and gentlemen, kind enough to join us in studio. You know, just rattling off a little 9-0 run in baseball before he got a bad number on a total and he lost on a total.
Classic operator error, Gil. Where
9-1.
9-1.
You don't know anything.
I don't know anything.
We'll get to your college baseball thoughts. By the way, there is nothing I am more excited to talk about these days than college baseball. Ole Miss, 3 wins away from winning it all. Oh, 100-1 ticket.
Amazing. And if I would have just kind of soared in to wherever you used to watch baseball on a nightly basis at the Planet Hollywood 10 years ago and said, Gil?
Hard Rock.
Oh, Hard Rock, sorry. Yeah. Apologies. Yeah. In the year 2022, you are going to be, your obsession in the month of June is going to be college baseball. Your response would have been?
I would have been like, first of all, you're too young to be in this casino, Brent Wilson. And two, you're crazy. Yes. I'd have been like, there's no chance that that's going to happen. By the way, baseball, though, which is a total, and Mark Borchardt was just on, total nerd out thing for me. It's like, you know, Deion Sanders used to say when he played baseball, it was his brain. When he played football, it was his brain on crack, right? The old drug prevention commercial. You do a baseball show here on the network called Run Line. When is that?
Sunday nights, 8 to 10 Eastern, with Adam Burke, who does our daily VSiN MLB column.
And it is Nerd Fest.
It is, oh, I mean, to say we embrace Nerd Fest is like, I mean, it's almost a disrespect to nerds themselves. And we get, I mean, it's all advanced analytics. It's all sabermetrics. And I mean, it's great because Adam, we can kind of look at, you know, obviously we'll look kind of in the you know, day by day process of it, but we also look at a macro perspective. And so to take like the step back where we get so, I feel like we're always looking at what are the picks today? What is the matchup today we like?
Right.
And you look at some of these guys, and I mean, Adam's looking at, you know, pitch arsenals and how they change over the course of a season for these guys. It ends up being a fascinating discussion because you learn so much about individual players and then how it kind of spills over into the teams. And it's a way I've never really thought about baseball in the past. I mean, I've always been, so many people just go, all right, team A versus team B today. Like, what do we think? What are the matchups?
Yeah.
And it goes so much deeper than that. And it's helped me just, you know, and I try to cap MLB, even though I am still super, super selective. Like, I can't, you know, Adam plays games every day.
Yeah.
I think I've played maybe 5 pregame plays, and they're all like first 5 totals or strikeout props, things like that.
So this is, again, this is the fascinating part about sports betting, right? So baseball is the ultimate, Major League Baseball is the ultimate betting grind. And for years, again, that's all I did. Had great seasons, had one really horrible season in there, 2013, sandwiched in between 2 really good seasons. And I remember in 2013, and I used to joke, I'd be like, oh, I'm up by 3 runs. I got them right where I want them because I knew my bullpen, like, right. Bullpens would just crush me that year. Anyway, the point is, I remember that. What a deflating exercise that was that year, because baseball involves so much numbers analysis, at least the way that I did it, the way that Adam Burke does it, that when you do have a bad long stretch run, it becomes particularly deflating, right, and disappointing, because you're like, wow, I put in all this amazing effort, and typically I will get results. But for whatever reason, it's not working out. By the way, this just in, this happens in sports betting. If anybody tells you it doesn't, you know, ever happen to them, they're lying or they haven't done it for long enough. And so I juxtapose that with, and sorry for going on a whole tangent on this, but I juxtapose it against, Drew and I were just talking about this Paolo Banchero thing at the number 1 pick in the draft. Well, I mean, if we hit this, and by the way, neither of us knows if we're going to or not, but if we do, what a ridiculous bet to win. That we just sort of landed independently on this notion of, why is this dude 9-1? Or why is this dude 11 or 12-1? I think I'm going to bet this heavily. And bam, you could win that. Just like, you know, we have in NFL drafts before. Or taking it to college baseball, something that requires or has not required any numbers crunching. But just by observing, you can see that Ole Miss is chronically underrated. That Arkansas has been chronically underrated. That Oklahoma, on a night-to-night basis or a day-to-day basis during the college baseball postseason, has been chronically undervalued. And so forget the futures plays, which I'm thrilled to still have Texas A&M and Ole Miss, and we'll get into the games today momentarily and how the bracket works. But on a day-to-day basis, it's so much more exploitable than just bashing your head against the wall, crunching MLB numbers on a daily basis. And that is the cruel trick that sports betting sometimes plays on you. Though I would argue you have to keep in mind that still long term, the best way is to do the numbers thing.
No, absolutely. And you think about, I mean, let's consider in baseball this season where the ball, we had the discussion on our show Sunday night of the quotes that it was the Michael Lorenzen pitcher from the Angels who had hit, I believe it was, he hit somebody in the head over the weekend, and he basically comes out after the game and says, like, I don't know what baseball's doing with the balls, but I literally could not get a grip in my hand.
Yeah.
And this is a joke. This is ridiculous that, like, we're major, like, this was the game, this was the sport and the league I dreamt about playing from the time I was a kid, and now we're here, and I have no idea what's going to happen with the baseball when it's coming out of my hand because they keep changing it. Pretty stark comments to be making when you are pitching in baseball's highest league. And so when you consider that, when you consider the introduction now of the park-wide humidors, and you consider the roster manipulation now, we had that discussion too, where yesterday marked the change back to the old system, 13 pitcher maximum. It's amazing how many, like the variables now in baseball, which make it, I feel like for, and forget it. And I'm not even talking about the general thought here, which is that baseball, I mean, the ratings are down and people don't want to sit through these games, and the measures they've gone to try to shorten the games haven't really worked. So it is almost become now, it's like a very, you know, it's a fun thing, I think, for people just to fill the time. But there are so many other things now that we have the overall calendar of sports that there's not, there are more things now, like WNBA. There are people now that have a very good niche and just that market.
For sure.
College baseball, another great example. So it's not like now we're in the dog days of summer. And it isn't all of a sudden that baseball is no longer completely relevant, but it's not anymore that one sport that you say, all right, I'm going to kick back and find something to bet because there's nothing else. And it's just, it's easy to kind of put that on a third or fourth line when you have other sports that are just so much more appealing for all those reasons I just mentioned.
Well, it's one of, so getting back to your show called The Run Line on Sundays with Adam Burke.
It is, yeah.
You know, and I just, with Mark Borchard, Jason Weingarten's on the show, Joe Pita when he used to talk baseball with us, but obviously Paul Spora as well, my regular baseball guest, John Legesa now as well. There's nothing more fun to talk about betting-wise because of all the numbers and the analytics crunching. But ultimately, our goal here is to win money, right? So it's like, I love the conversations, and I could go on for hours about them, but I do wonder sometimes, like, is this still the best bets I should make? And I've gotten to the point in my betting whole arc on it where I just don't bet as much MLB as I used. I mean, that's the understatement of the world. I've gone from the only thing that I used to bet to barely at all, right? And so for me, it's just, but I still love talking about it. It's still the most fascinating thing in the world. I just wonder if, like, do you know anybody who's destroying baseball on a year-to-year basis? I get it. There are some people who will destroy it, you know, given a year, given a stretch of time. But I wonder if there's anybody out there who's just killing it perennially.
Not that I know. And we've had the conversation too. Where, I mean, Adam had a tremendous April and May, and has been at least until, I think, about a week ago, just a brutal slump. I mean, just felt like every single bet he was making. I mean, I know he lost seven or eight in a row. And we had a very open, it was not this past Sunday, but a week ago, we had a very open, like, honest conversation about, okay, Adam, like, you're making daily plays, you are crunching the card, your process doesn't change, but, like, what do you do when you're admired in a slump like this? And I give him so much credit because it's so easy for us, and we have this conversation where we start talking college baseball, and I've never been one to, like, ever give out picks on Twitter before, but here I am because people are asking for it. I don't want to be a bad guy.
Sorry about that.
So I'm like, oh, I'll give out whatever I'm thinking. Yeah. But it's so easy to do that when you're winning. And so for Adam kind of discussing, like, the mental process here that goes on when all of a sudden you get in a losing streak, which is going to inevitably happen when you talk about Major League Baseball, where it's this 180-day slog, like, how you keep yourself mentally just in a frame of mind to not alter your process and to stay kind of consistent and driven that way. I found it fascinating, and he was straight up like, it's not, like, even for people like me who've been doing this, you know, my entire adult life, it's so hard to tell yourself, okay, what I'm doing is not wrong, the process. It's just the variance is going against me right now, and managers are making idiotic decisions whenever I'm on them.
That's the thing. That's what's changed the most about baseball from when I bet it almost exclusively to now, which is back in the day when I was on FanGraphs and most people weren't. Now everybody talks about all this stuff every day, like they've been experts for 30 years on it, right? But back in those days, you really could just go to FanGraphs, look at the difference between the advanced stats and the baseball card stats, and you could exploit the baseball market because you knew that starting pitchers were going to be in for a certain amount of time. And now just the haphazard pulling, the switch of relief pitchers, right? So it just, so many moving parts.
We're banging our head on Tony La Russa, like our head every single week on that guy. It's remarkable.
Love talking about it. Just don't know if it translates long term. College baseball. Today, two more elimination games. We'll get Ben's thoughts. I have a play as well that I gave out earlier. All that next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager on the BetMGM app, sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander. Ben Wilson, kind enough to join us in studio once again. Ben Wilson, rising star. Rising, maybe not even rising, already a star. What are you, play-by-play?
I am hosting all week with Josh Applebaum. I'm betting across America. So clearly I've made it in life, Gil. So.
Yeah, let me tell you what happens here. I texted Ben. I was like, hey, Ben, what days do you want to be on the show this week? And he's like, well, Tuesday and Friday work for me because, like, those other days I host other shows. And that would just, I can't do two shows in one day. And I'm like, yeah, what kind of schmuck would do that?
I think you used a different word.
Yes, I did. I probably did.
Well, it'll be an honor to be the first one to follow your lead on primetime action. I'll be following you tomorrow.
And tonight is tonight is my final night on primetime action. Yeah.
It'll be a special show.
I'll miss those guys. Yeah. I'll miss Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin, but yeah. Try not to shed a tear. I think Danielle's on the show tonight too. So it's all the whole band is back together.
I'm coming on Danielle's LA City cast today.
There you go.
Can't wait. I'm attending my first ever WNBA game tonight.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Here in town.
Yeah. The
Las Vegas Aces.
Yeah. I have to ask her what to bet on because I don't know.
We're referring to Danielle Alvari, who hosts the LA City cast, part of our podcast network here. Okay. College baseball, the greatest thing ever.
Yes.
So we are at the point now, and it's very difficult to describe on radio because it's a funky bracket. There were 64 teams that were the regionals. As Ben was here a few weeks back, described sort of the process of how that gets picked, how there's some politics involved. Then it gets winnowed down to 16 teams for the super regionals. The regionals are a double elimination. The super regionals are best of three. Then it gets down to 8 for the World Series in Omaha. That bracket is a combination of both double elimination and best of three. It's best of three when you get down to the final two, but it's not as simple as double elimination because there's winner brackets and loser brackets. It's really difficult to describe. Here's essentially what I would say is the case right now. So Oklahoma and Ole Miss, for which I have a 100-1 ticket, Oklahoma and Ole Miss now are in the catbird seat to meet right now in the championship best of three. Oklahoma and Ole Miss in their respective brackets need to win but one game in their next two games to advance to the final two best of three. That's where they stand. What is yet to be determined is who they will have to face over a one game or perhaps two game stretch to see if they can be the team to get to the final two and who are the teams that will challenge them. That will be determined today. The loser of both games today will be eliminated. There have been two teams eliminated from the Final Eight so far, Texas and Stanford, which we talked about, we thought were the shakiest, even though they were short shots. Today, Notre Dame, Texas A&M in the morning, loser eliminated, winner goes on to face Oklahoma. Winner, although Oklahoma only has to win one of the next two, the team that wins today would have to beat Oklahoma twice in two games to get to the final two. I know, it's not making it any clearer. Arkansas-Auburn is later, loser of that, eliminated, winner takes on Ole Miss to see if they can beat Ole Miss twice to get to the final two. So essentially the final four is determined today, although not all four are created.
It's like
equal.
A final four, kind of.
Kind of.
It's funny, I'm so used to this from doing college baseball postseason in the conference tournaments where I'm like, oh, this is nothing.
Right.
But I realize for the average, for most people who are not familiar maybe with this format before, it's like, wait, what?
You have to see it.
Yeah.
And we haven't been able to sort of translate it onto a graphic, but it's kind of clear now. So today, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, again, elimination game, losers done, winner will take on Oklahoma. And Texas A&M right now, we'll go to the, by the way, I already bet Texas A&M. I bet Texas A&M yesterday at plus 124. I also have a future on Texas A&M at 40-1. So my perfect scenario is to get Texas A&M to take on Ole Miss in the final two. Texas A&M all the way down to plus 100 now. So I got a really good number
yesterday.
You can
still, circa, you can get 120.
Oh, okay.
And,
there you go.
If you, well, for people who bet at Resorts World, you can get 120 there. But I don't know anybody who does, but you can.
It's a great food court there.
I'm great sure food court.
So, okay, so you still can get Texas A&M at around plus 120. Do you have a play on this?
I don't. I personally, I would think Notre Dame. Notre Dame, I still believe is the better team, but again, do you really make them a $1.45 favorite? And this is kind of the crux of a lot of our discussions on this entire stretch of for these teams that are so evenly matched. And to me, this is a total coin flip game, so I completely respect you for wanting plus money. I don't know how you really pick a side here, given, I mean, A&M was so impressive to me in that Texas game. And they lead the country in most pitches taken per plate appearance.
Yes.
And that was on no further display than the game against Texas, where they essentially ground that mighty Longhorn team that we all of a sudden made the favorites for the tournament. They ground them to a pulp, and it was so impressive.
They knew if they could knock that starter out, and this is so much of these College World Series games comes down to starting pitching depth. It falls off a cliff. And they knew that if they could bounce the Texas starter, Texas was in big trouble. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah, and my only concern is Notre Dame is a team who understands that philosophy better than anybody because they match a lot of the same things A&M does, as we've talked about before. They eliminated Tennessee, the most veteran team remaining in this field. So it's not a play for me. I'm seeing one book as a total at 15 now.
15.
So
you the just total get, is oh, 15.
You get some ridiculously high total. And I mean, A&M, their pitching was just nuked in game one, put up 10 runs in game two. That was my first loss because mighty Texas could only muster a couple of runs. But
they didn't participate.
Didn't decide to participate.
So this is the thing with today's games. Again, getting back to the theme of when you get past the ace starter, and maybe some teams have a competent two. Now we're at the point where you're just getting the mishmash. And so the total in the first game, as Ben just said, the A&M Notre Dame game is 15. The second game, Auburn-Arkansas, and again, the loser of that is eliminated. The winner of that will take on Ole Miss to see if they can get to the best of three championship series. Arkansas is a minus 145 favorite in this game. Auburn plus 115 coming back, 30 cent straddle on these. 13.5 the total in this. Any play here?
So I went into this thinking, just based on watching last night, I would want to be taking Auburn just because of the general thought of, all right, Arkansas, I mean, they use seven different pitchers, and their starter didn't make it out of the first last night. Five of their pitchers were pretty well lit up in that game. But what's interesting, at least for today, so Arkansas will go with Will McIntyre. So most of these teams, how it works in the regular season is you have your top three starters because you have these conference series where you go Friday, Saturday, Sunday starter. That's kind of how they're referred to. So your ace is referred to as your Friday starter in college baseball. It's one of the weird quirks of college baseball. Yep. Will McIntyre was not really in Arkansas's rotation, but when he's pitched, he's been really, really good. I mean, sub 250 ERA, really solid numbers. It'll only be his eighth start of the year. Pitched really well in relief in like a long relief role against Auburn when they faced in the regular season. And they are going, he just threw his last start was, I believe, five and a third shutout against North Carolina in regionals. And Arkansas basically is desperate for this guy to go deep. So this handicap kind of solely comes down to what do you believe in this Arkansas starter, who I think is really, really solid. And it kind of juxtaposes itself against an Auburn team who I don't know if you saw, but they have like eight guys dealing with some sort of food poisoning or flu-like symptoms right now, which is their radio announcer, like classic, you know, great SEC radio announcer Coach Thompson said there were 7 to 8 guys on the toilet too much. Like that was his, that was the way he said it in the broadcast. So I went into this thinking, man, like again, I've loved this Auburn team. They've been disrespected by the market the whole time. Would love them at a dog price, but I just can't get there on Auburn. I mean, and we talked about how Stanford was, that was certainly, even despite the number two seed billing, was kind of a weak team. Auburn, they had that massive one inning to get the win yesterday from behind. It was, 16 2/3 without a run for them to start the tournament. And that's been their issue. If Sonny DeShera, their stud slugger, is not really doing much at the plate, they're not a lineup that really worries you. And he hasn't hit a homer yet. He hasn't done much at the plate. So I'm concerned about Auburn today. I would, and I see actually South Point Might buy us. I'm going to go. I haven't played this yet. Might walk, take a walk over, visit Vinny. Minus 135. Arkansas would be my suggestion today.
So you're playing Arkansas minus 135.
Yeah.
Okay. I got A&M in the first one, and Ben's got Arkansas in the second one. May they both get home.
May they both get home.
Should be fun. Who do you think wins it all?
I told you before when we came on. I said Ole Miss.
Let's go.
I mean, they're the favorite now, and I still believe it. I feel vindication. I liked Ole Miss. I thought Texas was going to be a fraud, and they were out in two.
Three more wins.
I can't believe you're actually on the precipice of maybe doing this.
I am just beside myself. Nothing matters except for tennis and college baseball right now. Ben, we'll see you Friday.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Ben Wilson, everybody, on a numbers game. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.